Going.
Okay. This meeting is being recorded.
All right, what's up, everyone? We got Brandon Cuddy in here of NJ.com, sports writer who just won the NSMA award for New Jersey Sports Writer of the Year. So, Brandon, thanks for joining and congrats.
Thank you. Thank you, Julian. Really cool award. Cool to be recognized. Cool to be validated, I guess. Thank you for that.
Of course. So we were out there in the winter meetings and we got to see a lot of activity from the Yankees. We had the Judge story. Of course, Rodon signs around a week later. So my first thing is going to be, what's your offseason grade right now if the Yankees didn't do another thing?
Oof. I would say it's a solid B. You know, I think that they're still the best team in the AL East, which isn't what you're gunning for, right? You want to be the best team in the AL. You want to be better than the Astros. I don't know that on paper the Yankees have done that yet, convincingly. You know, getting Rodon was huge. I think that that rotation looks nasty right now. I almost wonder if they're considering trading one of those back end guys, like a Montas or something, to try to fill in left field, but I just don't see any deals that work there. Anyway, my point is, the rotation is better than it's ever been in my 9 years covering this team. Let's see if it stays that way. Let's see if they stay healthy. You always need so many pitchers. But I don't know. I would give them a B. They did what they had to do. I felt like they had to get Rodon. They had to bring back Judge, had to bring back Rizzo. Now, it's just, is that offense going to be enough, and can they stay up on top of the AL East, the rest of the year, and then improve left field enough at some point somehow?
I do. It
looks like it's going to happen anytime soon.
It doesn't look like anything's happening at the moment, you're saying. It's like a stalemate right now. Now, with that being said, I do agree with your assessment of the AL East. I don't think fans are worried about the East. I think it is that thing with the Astros trying to get past them. Is the offense enough when you haven't really changed too much? I mean, you're going to get a full season of Harrison Bader if he stays healthy. You might get some new blood at shortstop with Peraza and Volpe, but a lot of the other stuff is still the same as we wait for left field, and we're going to have to see. Now, with that, I have a thing I would ask here. Are the Yankees strictly staying under that top luxury tax tier? Is there any wiggle room to go over that top tier, or is there a foot in the sand that they need to like move some things around and maybe pencil in a left fielder if they wanted to?
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression that they don't want to go over that tax. And I mean, $293 million is a lot of money.
Right.
That being said, the team is still kind of, you can't say it's the same team as last year, because adding Rodon is just crazy. Like, he's an awesome pitcher. So it's better than last year. And like you said, full year of Bader. I would love to see Peraza, full year of Peraza at short. Yeah, I don't see them going over that. We've seen in years past the Yankees keep that buffer zone going to the trade deadline so that they can work with that extra bit of dough. But yeah, I don't see them going over the luxury tax threshold, but like maybe they will. I just don't see the deal that's out there for it to make it happen. And I just don't, the way the Yankees have operated in the past, I wouldn't think that that's their goal right now.
Right. Well, I would say there is some cost-effective left fielders that could keep them under, but the problem with that is you have to give up your prospect pool. And it doesn't seem like they want to move Peraza, Dominguez, obviously not Volpe. So they're kind of in a tough spot, because I think Profar, let's say they want to do Profar, that's too much money unless you move someone off the roster.
I mean, I think you look at Profar and you say, is he 100% going to be that much better than what the Yankees currently have on the roster? You know, for the amount of money that he might cost, is he a for sure upgrade over what the Yankees currently have? I don't know that he is, and he might be the best option out there. So if that's the case, you probably just want to stay with what you got.
Right. I think an option that can make some sense, I'm sure you've went through this one too, maybe Max Kepler, to take a gamble on him, wouldn't cost too much in the trade. You have to finagle a couple things to stay under that cap number, but I think that's a candidate. I think Reynolds, to me, seems to be out of the fields. I don't see that one happening because the Pirates just want too much. What's your impressions on that situation?
I mean, I don't think anything's over yet when it comes to Reynolds. I mean, I'd be surprised if he's traded at all. But, I mean, the Yankees could come out of nowhere, come out of left field and get the left fielder and end up with Reynolds. I don't know that I have an impression there. The Pirates are going to hold out until they can get the best deal possible. And, you know, there are a lot of reports that they want, you know, young starting pitching. And the Yankees traded a lot of that away last year. Nice. At the deadline. So if that's the case, then the Yankees are ill-positioned to try to make that deal. That being said, you never know. I mean, the things come up. And who knows what the Yankees are willing to part with in terms of position player. So I wouldn't close the door on it.
But, okay.
But like, that's because you don't close the door on anything until it happens.
Right. So we're not thinking it's a good chance, but we're leaving the door open. It's a summary, basically.
It's never like a good chance that you're going to trade for an all-star. Right.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, just if it happens, it happens.
Yeah. So your coworker, Bob Klapich, has said that, I think Cashman was saying the Yankees are set right now that Hicks would be the left fielder. But I was wondering, do you think they would go with Cabrera to start the season, or would they actually consider running Hicks back out there if they didn't change anything?
I think they would. You know, let's look at this glass half full, right? Because I'm having my first coffee in the morning, and that's when the day is shining its brightest, so it looks like garbage out there right now. North Jersey, Bloomfield, what up? Anyway, so, yeah, I think that a healthy Hicks, again, healthy, another season removed from that torn tendon sheath that he had in his wrist, you know, maybe get some of the power back with the restricted shifting. Maybe he, you know, more singles fall in for him, more hits fall in for him. He's always had a really good eye at the plate. 330 OBP last year, solid. Batting average was awful, and the OPS wasn't good. But like, you could see a world where Aaron Hicks is a good option in left field. Still a solid defender despite the issues he had last year. At times, I think he can handle it. I think he could be okay there. I think he could be good there. And I think the Yankees could give him a shot there. I don't think that they want to give the job every day to Cabrera. I think he's more useful to them, you know, switching around, jumping spot to spot. Though, you got LeMahieu for that too. So,
right.
There's some weirdness with the roster. Not weirdness, but you know, you got a utility guy in Cabrera, a utility guy in DJ, a utility guy in kind of IKF.
Right.
And no left fielder for the surefire left fielder right now, and no definite shortstop right now.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of moving pieces that you could very easily pencil in and say, all right, this is how this works. But you could also say, maybe it's this way, maybe it's this way, maybe it's this way.
It just seems like there's a lot of confusion in that left third, like short area. I know Donaldson's in trench there right now, but no one's too pleased with that. But speaking of that, could you see a move to open things up in the infield or the outfield? Have they been exploring the possibility of trading Hicks, maybe moving infielder to make things a little more clear in there?
I mean, they're of course they've looked into trading Hicks. They've looked into trading Donaldson. Those aren't easy things to do, right? This isn't a video game.
Yeah.
You can't just fill up the bar until it's green and then deal with it. And then you're not going to make your first option, cut a player and eat his money because you're Hal Steinbrenner and you're a billionaire. Like, I get that's why fans saying that, but that's not going to be your first option until you've exhausted all your other options. So they're going to take their time on that. I don't know that you want to trade someone to clarify things. I think that you go into spring training, you hope it works itself out, and then you hope that another team has a need that pops up in spring training, or God forbid, another team has an injury.
Yeah.
And needs one of your guys. I don't think you need to make that move now. I think you go into spring with what you got and let it shake out.
Okay.
In terms of the infield.
Right. So a scenario I would lay out for you. Let's say Peraza wins the job at short, and then you have IKF and you have DJ as utility infield. It's like, is there a scenario they could trade IKF? I know it's $6 million. I don't know if anyone would take that for a backup. I don't know if he would be a starter anywhere else. Like,
oh yeah, he'd be a star. I think he'd be a starter somewhere. He's a team see him as a really good defender, and he's the kind of guy who makes like awesome plays and then had some difficulty with some routine plays, and it all kind of balances out in these teams' internal systems and their rating systems as a well above average defensive shortstop. So, you know, teams like IKF, the Yankees like IKF, and you know, there are things he does well, of course. So I think he could start somewhere, and don't be surprised if you never know what's going to happen in spring training, right? You don't know how Peraza is going to play in spring training. You don't know how Volpe's going to play in spring training. You don't know how IKF is going to play in spring training. I think the Yankees would like Peraza to get the everyday job. I think fans would like to see that. I think that I'd like to just see how that looks. But, you know, could they trade? If you're asking me if they could trade IKF, sure, they could. But, I mean, you could say that about anybody on the roster. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be like wishy-washy here, but like you're probably not gonna lead. If you're gonna make a trade, you wanna make it worthwhile. And you're probably not gonna put IKF as the lead piece of
right. Like that's a good point
for a big guy.
The reason I was looking to move him kind of or Hicks, obviously, is because I think the Yankees definitely need some help in the left field still. And I think that could be a way to get some money off the books. Hicks is gonna be improbable, because you're going to have to attach something or eat some salary if you even get rid of him. IKF, you could probably clean the six, but we'll have to see how they want to handle it. They did bring in some left fielders. I'm curious what you thought about these moves. They brought in Ortega and Calhoun. Do you think those guys have any shot to break the bench roster maybe?
I have no thoughts on those moves, honestly, Julian. Just because I see them as AAA depth, I think, or I think is Ortega, who's, you know, a pretty solid lefty bat. Against righties from time to time. So like, is it crazy to think that maybe he could try the platoon in left with say Hicks? Maybe, but you could also say the same thing about Cabrera, right? Because he hit well, especially over his last 100 some on at bats last year. I don't see either of them being like an everyday option, but I mean, maybe, but they're not the signings that I don't see them being like a Urshela, Luke Voit,
okay,
diamond in the rough out of nowhere. But then again, right. you also never know until it happens.
I could see Cashman trying to trade for left fields or like that. Maybe someone a little bit higher pedigree that he thinks he can fix, like a Gio or a Luke or something, or like Didi, I thought too. So maybe we'll see what he's looking to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But again, I just don't know that either one of those guys are the ones you look at and say, problem solved.
Yeah, that makes some sense. We'll have to see how they look. So we spoke about the rotation before, and with the news of Montas obviously being the five and everything else is solidified, feels like Domingo Germán and Clark Schmidt are kind of in an odd spot, both of them. Like, could you see them going into camp with both pitchers? Do you think they're looking to maybe make a move there? Like you were talking about trading some pitching to make something happen.
No, because you end up, you always need six pitchers. You always need seven pitchers. I like Clark Schmidt out of the bullpen. I'd love to see him in a Mike King type role, especially considering the Yankees could still use some bullpen depth. I think that you still want to have Herman as a six star, because at some point someone's going to need a rest day. Someone's going to need a skip in the turn of the rotation. You know, they're going to need a six, you know, going off my head here. I feel like Cole and Rodon probably each made a fair share of their start last year on 6 days. Don't hold me to that.
Yeah, I know the Yankees did a bunch of movement and mixing and matching with the rotation.
Maybe 6 days, an extra day. I don't mean to say 6 days.
No, I got you.
So if you got two of those kind of guys, if you want to do that with Cole, if you want to do that with Rodon, if you want to do that with Nestor, with Seve, you got a lot of guys in there where you want to build in that extra day. I'm not saying they're going to go into a six-man rotation. You don't want to go into a six-man rotation. But I do think that I do think Herman's valuable, and you want to hold on to that.
Right, that makes some good sense. You can never have enough depth. So let's go back to the winter meeting. So how about the Arson Judge experience? Tell me your Arson Judge experience. And then I saw you right after the Boone press conference. So it was an interesting whirlwind of events.
Yeah, listen, John is a great reporter. He gets a lot of crap for that. And he's someone who's, I can't think of the last time John is wrong. Like he's a great reporter. So I don't like the crap that he got over that. Yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting. In the moment, it was kind of like, whoa, is this real? Because I hadn't heard anything, and other reporters around me hadn't heard anything. And then after checking with people that I knew who were involved in the situation, they were saying it wasn't real. So it was kind of a little bit like, whoa, what's going on here? And I'll be honest, when something like that happens, where there's smoke, there's fire, you kind of felt like, okay, maybe just word got out a little too soon. This is probably going to happen. And then it didn't. And then, Hal stayed on the phone with Judge and made it happen later that night. But it was a weird time. And getting woken up at, quarter to five in the morning, West Coast time, when we were at the winter meetings, yep, to get up and, hey, you got it right there. Aaron Judge is signing with the Yankees right now. That was an experience. So yeah, that was a lot. A lot happened there, and that was unique. I had never been through something like that before.
It was a crazy situation. And then waking up the next morning really early, just happened to be up when the news broke, so it worked out. But yeah, I kind of had a feeling that it wasn't official either, just because Heyman is a good reporter. I wasn't there to bash Heyman. I think he does a great job for the most part. I mean, no one's perfect, but it was just a crazy whirlwind of events.
Yeah.
So from that Boone press conference, I thought there was a few interesting notes. I remember he was unsure of the situation too, but he wasn't saying they had lost him. So what were your impressions of that? What did you think of that whole experience of talking to Boone after?
You saw it. It was pretty straightforward. Boone hadn't heard anything. Boone didn't get the impression that it was over yet. And, we learned that later that night, Boone called Aaron to just reiterate, hey, before you make a call, hit up Hal first and make sure that you've exhausted all your options, because Yankees want to keep you. Talking to Aaron about it was weird, but this is baseball. This is a lot of money. You want to talk, if you want to say something to Aaron Judge, with the Yankees, you could make $320 million over 8 years, or you could make $360 million over 9 years with the Giants. And you say, what's the difference, Aaron? If you want to be a Yankee, $360 million, you're never going to spend that. $320 million, you're never going to spend that. What's the difference? Well, the difference is $40 million. If you had zero and someone said, we're going to give you $40 million or $0, you take the $40 million. You don't leave that on the table. So I don't blame Aaron for going out there and getting every single penny that he's worth, because he's worth, we don't know how much he's worth to the box office of these pictures of the seats behind me. We know that teams calculate player value through wins added, through all their statistics on the field, but we don't know what Aaron Judge means to the Yankees, in terms of the YES Network, in terms of ticket sales, in terms of jersey sales, in terms of being on every single billboard when I drive into Yankee Stadium from Jersey. So $360 million sounds good to me. I think the Yankees will still come out on that deal with a lot of money.
Yeah, me too. And it's something that had to get done. They had to set the tone with that and everything. So I'm going to switch over to the farm. Who are some people you think can make an impression next year that people aren't talking about? I know they added Vasquez to the 40, Brito, who I've seen both of those guys. I haven't seen much of Matt Crook, so that was an interesting one to me.
I mean, in speaking with scouts who've been kind enough to share their insights with me, I know that Brito is considered pretty legit guy who can get major league outs right now. You know, real good command. Someone who, has steadily gotten better. So you wonder if that trajectory is going to continue. Crook, of course, nasty stuff. Control issues throughout his career, but I mean, you can say that a lot about a lot of pitchers. Vasquez, again, solid, but you know, none of the prospect types. That was a Waldichuk or the guy they sent to the Cubs last year.
Wisniewski.
Yeah, Wisniewski. I was getting people who were raving about him.
I liked him too.
Shocked that they traded him for Efros, honestly. Not to say that Efros isn't going to be great next year when he comes back from Tommy John, but that they were. I spoke to a lot of people who were surprised by that kind of deal. You're really just looking at, I feel like, Peraza for the most part. I don't see them going with Volpe on the big league roster out of spring training. The Yankees like to let their prospects bake a little bit longer in the minor leagues and truly show something at AAA and prove that they're done with those levels. So I don't see the Yankees rushing Volpe. I just don't see it happening. I think Peraza is much more likely. And I think a guy like Peraza, you still got to see Floreal do it. It's mostly looking like Peraza to me. Maybe Volpe in the second half. But also that, you know, Volpe in the second half means that someone isn't doing their job. It means that, you know, maybe Glaber isn't doing his job or is gone. And that's, you know, Glaber still has so much talent. Or Peraza isn't getting it done, but he has so much talent, or IKF, all those guys. So it's hard to say that you're going to see Volpe this year, but he's also, you know, considered a top prospect in the game for a reason.
He could definitely be an X factor for maybe being, it's tough to say in the first year, but I would say he can be a factor in getting past the Astros. That could be a difference if he ends up in that line of making things happen. Like if he ends up being good enough right away, which is tough to quantify, obviously. A scenario maybe that I know that Jack Curry's even talked about a little bit is that they DFA Donaldson if he doesn't have it, and then they call Volpe up and move the infield around a little bit, like within a few months maybe. Could you see something like that?
Sure, right? But, you know, that's contingent on Donaldson looking cooked, like cooked. And I think he was the best defensive third baseman in the league last year. He didn't get nominated for a Gold Glove. I think there was some kind of anti-Donaldson sentiment there. That's contingent on him looking cooked and the Yankees saying, okay, we're going to eat a lot of money. Could they do that? Sure. But they could also trade Donaldson. They could also trade Glaber. That's one scenario that Jack threw out there. And Jack knows ball as well as anybody, better than mostly anybody. I just err on the side of they're probably not going to cut someone and pay them to not play. Like it's hard to,
right.
to forecast that.
I'm just looking at it from the sense that they got to beat this Astros team. I don't know if Donaldson in the lineup is going to be the best way to do that. Even though his defense is good, like they got to fix that hitting somehow.
But you haven't seen Volpe play in the major leagues yet.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You haven't really seen him play in AAA yet.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I know they do take their time with the guys. You are right about that. That's been proven over time. So I'm actually going to go back to the bullpen here. So we got some news about Mike King not being ready for opening day, most likely. Do you have any idea what that timetable is looking like?
No. I've heard ready for opening day. I've also heard not ready for opening day. I don't think that there's a – I mean, where did you get the he's definitely ready for opening day? Because I heard that's a little bit like this.
Oh, it was The Athletic that said that he's not expected to be ready for opening day. I think it was Chris Schneider who had it.
Chris Kirschner,
yeah. I knew I got that name wrong. I'll have to fix that part.
No, it's fine. Good dude. We've heard a lot in terms of King, whether it's going to be ready for opening day or like a month after opening day. It's hard to say right now. But, you know, the Yankees are are banking on him being a big part of that bullpen. I don't see them stretching him out to be a starting pitcher. I don't see them trying to go that route with him again. He showed so much as a reliever last year that I think that's what they want to do. But, you know, is it opening day? Is it 2 weeks after opening day? I think it's too soon to say.
Well, with that, do you think they can make another move in the bullpen? Or do you think they're set with everyone they have right now?
No, I mean, of course they can make another move in the bullpen. There always seems to be a spring training guy who lights it up and wins the back end spot, right?
You know, yeah.
Like a Lipke, or and ends up, you know, on the roster for 2 years and you don't see it coming. you know, there's always a chance. You never have enough relievers. And I think that, I don't think the bullpen's set by any means. I do think that the back end is kind of set. I do think it looks like Clay Holmes as your closer. I do think Holmes is your closer. Then, you know, it's Wandy and Canely and King when he gets back. Who am I missing?
Well, Wisica.
Oh, the Wisica down there as well. So I do think your high-end part of your bullpen is pretty set. But like always, I think that back end is in flux, and I think they could absolutely make some moves. I think they wanted to give Junior Fernandez a shot, and you know, obviously lost him on waivers.
Right, because it's funny you bring up Lakey, because that's why I brought this up, because it seems like they're a lefty short now. They don't need to have more than one lefty, I guess. Maybe Matt Crook gets his spot. I think Andrew Chapin intrigues me, but they probably wouldn't want to spend the money for him, I wouldn't think. So he's still out there, but maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it always helps to have a lot of lefties, but I think they look at Marinaccio as someone who's kind of a lefty killer. I think they look at him as someone who does a good job on both sides of the plate, like a reverse split guy. I think the Yankees have some guys who are solid in the reverse split category. So, you know, yeah, you got Wandy as your lefty, right? But I think they have a couple guys who do the job, and we'll bring in guys who you know, special and not specialized, but can get lefties out.
So what do you make of T.J. LeMahieu's situation? Like, do you think the Yankees have a diminished player in their hands down the stretch? Do you think he kind of get back to what he was? Like, it seems like it's a tricky spot for him.
I mean, when he was healthy last year, he was about as good as DJ's ever been, right? When before the toe really sank him. And if you know DJ, and if you've watched DJ, like, he's someone who takes this seriously, doesn't mess around. That guy is not going to be unprepared. So if he's healthy, you're expecting a top of the order bat. You're expecting a number two hitter, a leadoff guy. So I go into next year thinking DJ's DJ. You know, you have too many other things to worry about. You don't worry about DJ's commitment. You don't worry about DJ's ability to get back to where he was. You just worry about, is he healthy? And, you know, fans always talk about, just get him the surgery now. You know, why isn't he having the surgery so you don't have to worry about it later? Well, the issue with the surgery, with the toe, which, you know, my understanding is he's not going to have surgery on the toe, it was that the Yankees and DJ consulted like 3 or 4 different doctors, like a handful of doctors, and each one of them came back with, oh, here's our idea. There was no consensus on exactly what to do in terms of surgery. There was one guy had one idea, one guy had another idea. Like, that's my understanding. So if you're talking about get DJ surgery to fix his toe, well, what surgery? And I think that's the way the Yankees look at it. I think DJ wanted to avoid surgery. I think the Yankees wanted to avoid surgery. That's what they're going to do. And I think that if he is healthy, he is DJ until proven otherwise.
All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's say he's healthy and everything checks out. You have this roster you see right now. What's your opening day positional alignment?
I mean, Rizzo at first, Glaber at second. Rizzo at first, DJ at second.
Oh, wow.
Peraza at short, Donaldson at third, and Glaber on the bench for opening day. Ooh. And then they circle. I think Glaber was on the bench on opening day like 2 years ago.
It definitely did take place. Was it? It might have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, it's not. It's like the Yankees will tell everyone that your number one starter doesn't really matter until the playoffs. Your lineup doesn't really matter until the playoffs. You know, it's they'll say it's 1 of 162. And though Glaber may feel slighted by not being in the opening day lineup. It's really more of a rolling situation, right? Day one, maybe Glaber's not in there, but, day two, Glaber's in there, DJ at third, Donaldson sitting. Like, that's kind of how I see it. I wonder how Stanton factors into left field. I wonder if there's a little bit of a push for him saying, hey, let me get out there. Like, give me some time out there. I know I keep getting hurt, but like, I like being out there. And maybe he says, I wasn't getting hurt as much when I was playing the field. I don't know. I wonder if that could be some kind of solution where Stanton gets a lot of the at-bats, obviously right-handed at-bats, and then maybe Cabrera gets some lefty at-bats, some you know, Hicks and Cabrera get lefty at-bats. A way to cycle Stanton into the left field because he likes being, he likes playing defense. Though, did he even play left field at all last year outside of in the playoffs? I think
there was a couple times here and there. I know they were doing it in the beginning. Yes, because they had Judge and Stanton a lot, so that ended up working out well. He is better in right, but unfortunately it doesn't align right with the Yankees now having Bader in center and Judge in right field.
Right, right. I don't know for sure what they're going to do in left field, but I do wonder if Stanton's looking and saying, hey, let me get out there.
You actually read my mind with the Stanton question. I was going to ask you that, so you got one off my list because I was curious about that too. Maybe they do a rotation. Maybe it's Stanton. Maybe it's Oswaldo. Maybe one of those invites ends up working out here and there. Maybe Hicks sparingly. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a consistent person right now with how this roster's set up.
Right now, sure. But I do think that presently, with the way the lineup is right now, with the way the roster is right now, they're looking at Hicks and saying, you're the guy who's going to get the first crack.
Wow. Well, that's not going to be music to many people's ears, but we'll see what ends up happening. Oswaldo, I do agree they like him better floating around that utility role. I do wonder if he has a really good camp, if they would just plan and left if no one else came in, but who knows? We're gonna have to see.
I think he can't be tricked by a really good camp, you know? And I'm not saying that Oswaldo playing well in camp would be a trick. I'm just saying that you got Hicks there. If he's there, you're gonna use him. And if you think that he's healthy and you think that, you know, that he can be, you know, if he's looking stronger again 2 years past the tendon cheek surgery, remember when Teixeira had it a few years ago?
Yeah.
A lot of years ago. He wasn't better the year after. He was better 2 years after. So, I'm just saying it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right. Better keep it open. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to see. Like, he just hasn't been great. But like you said, he has had a lot of injuries. Could he actually stay healthy? It's tough to say. I mean, we'll have to just see how he does.
Yeah.
So trying to think of some other things. We'll start winding down here. Why not? I mean, I've asked you for a lot of advice, but I guess I could just say, if you had to give a few pieces of important advice to aspiring reporters or writers, what would it be?
I mean, I think we went over this one time, but I mean, it's just read. You know, if you want to be a reporter, you want to be a writer, you got to be able to do it, right? And if you're reading a lot, you kind of start to mimic the people you read, and those are published authors, right? So you want to kind of, you know, see what they do, and then take what they do and fit it into yourself. So I would just say, you know, never stop reading. That's the biggest thing. But also, like, just do it. You know, there are a lot of people out there who just won't do it, right? They think that reporting is one thing. They think it's writing is one thing. It's, you know, watch the game, then write about it. It's not. It's so much more than that. It's trying to find different stories. It's trying to make different connections. It's trying to read different tea leaves. It's being in the right place at the right time. It's putting in the time. So, you know, people who put in the time, put in the work, don't go unnoticed. That's what I would say in terms of most advice. Just read a lot and be willing to write a lot of different things. Like, if you want to be a Yankees reporter. Like, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to just be a Yankees reporter, right? Like, if you want to be in journalism, if you want to be in reporting, you got to be ready to be in journalism and be in reporting. That's where your heart and that's got to be first. Not in. I want to write about the Yankees. I'm going to make that a career. That's not a lot of people get to do that. I didn't do that. That wasn't my goal. I ended up here because I loved reporting, loved journalism, and it worked out.
Right, and you have a good path. So I'll ask like one or two more things and we'll get going. So who do you think is someone that could surprise next year that people aren't talking about with the Yankees?
I don't think there's a lot of that. I don't think there's a lot there. I wonder, if Rortvedt gets any shots, gets any chances to prove himself. I think that the Yankees like him a lot. I think that he will obviously start the year as a third catcher. I think he'll be in Scranton. But, you see catchers kind of bloom out of nowhere sometimes, and he's obviously really good defensively. So you wonder about what they've got in Rortvedt. But again, with the Yankees, you look at AAA and you say, I don't know where that position player is and who's not Volpe, maybe Dunham. But like for Dunham to get a chance, you got to have a lot of things kind of go wrong, right? Because you got Judge there, you got Bader, you got how left field's going to shake out. I'm not going to say.
I don't know why that keeps coming up. I shut that off. Sorry.
It's okay. You gotta have things happen to have spots open up. So that, yeah, I would say it's hard to say. But maybe a Wells gets a chance. Maybe at some point they look to Wells to do something in the lineup. I think that they're still very bent on him remaining at catcher, and maybe the bat really takes off even more, and they work him into something. So maybe it's Wells who ends up being that guy.
All right, Brendan, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. This was a good little interview. I'll let you know when it's posted and everything. We're doing some new stuff on the channel, so it's going to have a different look and all that. But this was awesome. Everyone check out Brendan Cuddy's work on NJ.com. Everyone subscribe to us as well. And we'll be back soon.
Thank you, Julian.
Thanks, Brendan. Have a good day and everything.
Appreciate it.